Well, now's the time when we have someone that wants to share their thoughts with us, their spiritual thoughts with us. And, you know, again, we're not looking for great speakers up here. We want people who talk from their heart. And this young lady talks from her heart. She acts with her heart. She's worked for God for many years. She, as we talked about a while ago, though, she was confessing that she went as an imposter to France. For 2 or 3 weeks to a month, she lived over there and pretended she was somebody else, some great singing star. I shouldn't tell this on her, but I have to. You know, the truth never hurt anybody. She went to France as a well-known singer who was too busy to go. And she pretended she was Roby. I don't know how many, you're all too young to remember Roby, probably. I am. But she went there as Roby. George knows about it. And she got away with being an imposter in France. Now, please don't go out and tell that all over the world now. Don't go out and blab that to the world, please, everybody. Reese? Well, she's got a few more things I could tell on her because she's my daughter. She doesn't take after her mother. I can't even sing. I couldn't even sing that Christmas carol up here. That's why I moved over for Carrie. And there's two beautiful couple kids right there. Look how much he loves his sister. Is that beautiful? Is that beautiful? So get ready to listen and share the thoughts with my daughter. You can call her Cindy. Or you can close the C and make it an A, and she's really Andy. Andy Landis.
Hi. How are you? Okay, so now I have to explain the story, right? I'm so sorry, my mom. Does she do this to you, too? Yes, right? Okay, 100 years ago, I was a singer. You might not know, but I was a singer, songwriter, and an actor, and I modeled and did all these crazy things. And so I was hired as a background singer to sing for a lead singer who was French-Canadian, and she was going to be touring France. And so I was playing bass, and my other friend was playing guitar, and somebody else was playing keyboard, and we were singing backup for Roby. Well, the producer was a French guy, Jean-Marc somebody or other, and he used to play drums upside down and all this crazy stuff, and he was her producer. Well, we were rehearsing. We were going to meet her in France, and we were going to go tour with her for a month, and we were excited. We were going to have fun. It was really fun and exciting. Anyway, all of a sudden, he hangs up the phone. He was really mad. He starts cussing in French. Oh, no, what am I going to do? Oh, zut alors, la, la, la. He's doing all this. Oh, la, la. And we said, Jean-Marc, what's the matter? Roby, she canceled on me. She says she cannot come because she got a television show, and now she's not coming. And I said, oh, no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we sat there. We were all very depressed, of course. And I'm just seeing the next month of my life. I was getting ready to tour France. And I was, you know, very excited about this, partly because there was a young guy in France that I was very interested in, too. So I was really wanting to go because I'd met him on the beach the summer before. So that was another reason I really wanted to go. However, that's an aside. So he all of a sudden says, I need to find another Roby. I need to find somebody who looks like Roby. Look, she has red hair. She is beautiful, blah, blah, blah. She's blah, blah. She's about the same size as you. And I went, what? You are going to be Roby. I was like, oh, no, no, no. No, I'm sorry. I only took 2 years of French, and I don't remember any of it, and it was in high school. No, no, no. You can be Roby. And I was like, no, I really can't. I can't learn the songs. We left like 2 or 3 days later, and off I went to France. Well, my two girlfriends that were also singing backup were going to come a few days later. I was on TV. I was on the radio. I cut the ribbon for Le Mans as Roby. I am telling you what. And I did not get paid what she would have gotten paid. But I am telling you, I had such a good time because I start, like, by day two, I was like, woo, I'm Rabia. How are you, France? Oh, no, no, I love you. I had so much fun being somebody else because it was me. I would have felt self-conscious. But with her, being her was a blast. So if you ever get a chance to be someone else. And she was a rock star, you know, not hard rock, but like a pop star. And so I was signing autographs as her. It was so much fun. Anyway, that's so my mom had to tell the story, so I had to fill you in because it's actually true. I was an imposter. And it was only at the very end, there was a radio guy, and he said, I think, didn't you have brown eyes before? And I said, oh, I was wearing what do you call them in English? What do you call it, you know, where they change your eye color? And then I would say, oh, je suis fatiguée, I'm so tired. And then the producer would take over and would explain. And I mean, but isn't that fun? I have pictures like all over France of me being someone else. I was the most famous person I ever was in my life while I was someone else. Oh, thanks, Mom, setting me up like that. Okay, yes, now, yeah. There you are, that's the explanation. Well, I wanted to talk to you about my most favorite subject in all of the world. Other than my mom, my most favorite subject is love. I truly believe with all my heart, with everything I know, and I'm not young anymore. I believed this when I was young, but I believe it even more now. That love is the most important ingredient in our lives, that we will do anything to get it. I believe people kill for it, they die for it, they lie for it, they tell the truth for it. I believe we hurt ourselves for it, and sometimes we hurt others for it. According to Webster's, sorry, it's where my glasses, but they match my shirt. Love, according to Webster, is an intense feeling of deep affection. There are synonyms like fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy, attachment, and endearment. You can love a person or a thing. You can call it my most beloved scarf. I love my truck. I love my best friend. You can call it dear, darling, angel, sweet, honey. The list goes on and on about the words we can use for love. As a verb, love can be a deep romantic or sexual attraction to someone. And it's considered adoration. You hold this thing very dear. You idolize it. You worship it. And on and on and on it goes. And I'm telling you, when I read that, it doesn't tell me what love is. Does that tell you what love is? That love is a deep, affectionate feeling? I'm so sorry. I have to do this because I have to keep this in front of me. I always find, for me, that falls short. And I believe that it falls short because there's a little tiny scripture. It's called 1 John 4:8. And it's over 2,000 years old. And this little scripture says, God is love. God is love. God is love. That's who God is. When you love someone, when you really love them, when you cannot love a car the way you love a person. I suggest that you perhaps can love your dog almost that much, or your cat, in my case, my sheep and my few other things. But you can't really love a thing like that. God is love. And it goes on to say in John, the same scripture, that whoever does not know love cannot know God. If you don't know love, you can't No, God, you can't know God if you don't know what love is. Now, that is a challenge for us, because I know my mom is here loving you guys probably more than some of you have ever been loved. Am I mistaken in that? Who agrees that? Probably some of you feel more loved by my mom, right? Now, the reason she loves you like that is because more than anything in her life, she wants you to know God. She wants you to know that you are loved, not just by her, but by this greater love that she channels through her, that she puts through herself to you. And she might not always say it. She'll say, I loved you first, right? You've heard her say that. I loved you first. Well, I've been hearing that my whole life. Well, of course you loved me first, Mom. I couldn't even love. I was like, I took a first breath. Of course she loved me first. Of course, that's what she says, but that's what God says. God says, I first loved you. Now, if you can allow yourselves to be an instrument and a vessel for love, it will change you. God will change you. God will make you bigger, better, smarter, faster. God will make you funnier. I'm not kidding about that. God will make you funnier. God can change who you are and how you see the world. God is love, and love is God. And if you don't love, you cannot know God. And I'm going to tell you something that I don't know that I've ever really told you before over the years that I've come and been here. If I did not believe that God was love, if I did not believe in God, there are many times I don't know how I would get to the next day. Does anybody in this room know what I mean? Thank you. I don't know sometimes how we get to the next day without either feeling loved or knowing that there's love out there. Even with a mom as spectacular as this, I am out on my life just like you are. I am out there doing my life, and I want my life to be big, and I want my life to be crazy, and I want my life to I want to make mistakes, and I want to get up, and I want to learn from those mistakes, and I want to have a big, huge life where I love people like a sloppy mess. I don't think you can love without crying, hurting, making mistakes, falling apart, falling down, getting up, and starting over. Otherwise, you're just playing it safe. If you haven't loved or felt loved, sloppy, and like people are like crying all over you and hugging you tight and loving you sloppy, then you need to just love, press on and love some more so people will love you back that way. It should be visible. It needs to be visible. We need to love in a visible way. I'm so adamant about this, and I annoy so many people with this. I am a very annoying person. My uncle, who was my dad's brother, used to tell me, you are pushy, intrusive, and annoying. And I would say, I know, isn't it great? And he would say, no, it's not. But he would tell me things. He would tell me stuff about the war. He would tell me, because I wanted to know. I wanted to know. My dad was gone, and my uncle was the only one left. And he would tell me things because I would listen with love, and I just kept on touching him. That was very annoying if you don't want it, but tough if you're going to. Oh, hello. I like music. So I'm telling you that this is the place, and don't hold back your love. This is the place where you can do it, because this is the place, this church, gives you the opportunity to practice your gifts. There are gifts of prophecy and gifts of teaching and gifts of giving in tongues and gifts of interpreting tongues and gifts of dreams, and there's all kinds of gifts. And it, and according to the Bible, which I believe it's been around a very long time, our whole calendar is based on the on when Christ was born. You can't give a date without, it's 2000, going on 2017. 2017 years since around the birth of Christ. You can't really function without having that somewhere in the back of your mind. It was a turning point for our world because he brought love. He brought love greater than any other person had ever brought love. Unfailing, unwavering, unchanging, unfathomable, willing to die, willing to defend, willing to correct, love that was sloppy and messy love, died on the cross for love. And you can have all these gifts, and in this Bible it says, you know, you have gifts. Everybody has gifts. Every single person has them. If you're looking for what they are, you just keep coming back. You keep asking God, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? You will find them because you have them. You can't not have them. Everybody has them. Some gift that's good for others. But what it also says, is though you speak with tongues of men and angels and you have not love, you are like a sound of a tinkling brass or cymbal. And though you have a gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge of the world, and even though you have all the faith in the world, even if you can move mountains and you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, and I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Because love suffers long. Love doesn't envy. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave unseemly. It does not seek its own. It is not easily provoked, and it does not think of evil. It does not rejoice in injury, but it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things, and love never fails. So you can be a prophet, and a prophet will fail. You can know tongues and they will cease. You can have knowledge and it will vanish. You know in part, we prophesize in part, but when it comes, that which is perfect, all things shall pass away except for love. And I don't know why I felt like I had to tell you this, but I don't know about you, but I love to love in funny and awkward, unique places. I love to go to prison and love people in prison. I love to love homeless people. I love to love people that are hard to love. But the world is really angry and frightened right now, and I'm sure you know what I mean. And I really believe that we are called upon, and it's not just us, it's people all over the world. We are called upon to love all the more. And all the greater, and with more humor, and with more patience, and with more kindness than we ever have. So it's not like you learn it and then it gets easier. I was sitting here and, you know, you guys play that song that I wrote, God Use Me, and I felt Janie. And I felt her say, I love that song to me. And that was, you know, she wrote me a little card one time after I spoke, and she told me, like how much it meant to her. Sorry.
Thank you.
Should be on the second shelf.
No, I don't see it. I'll just have to use my hand.
Right. Don't shake hands with me later. Okay. Thank you. And she loved well. You guys mostly know Janie, right? Most of y'all know Janie. She was quiet about it, but she loved to be loved, and she loved to love. And she wrote me this really nice letter, and I still have it. And so when I'm sitting there, and you guys sang that song, she told me, you know, she just said, I love that song. And I felt loved. I felt loved. And I remember Mom Hill. Mom Hill was our teacher. And Mom Hill used to say that if you're going to believe this much, if you're going to believe that dead people are still here and Christ is alive and he was real, and she used to say that Jesus was her best friend all the time. And she would say, people are going to tell you you're cracked. She said, I'm cracked. So I'm just going to tell you from Mom Hill today that you're all cracked. You're all nuts. You're completely nuts. Because this is not people, same people don't believe, I mean, same people do, but most people don't believe that God is in this incredible mystery, that he is just love, that he is complete energy love, and that it matters. So Mom Hill said, I'm cracked. She used to say she was cracked all the time, but that she'd say, but don't worry, because through the cracks comes the light. Now, I've heard other people say that since then, but when she said it, this was a long time ago, and it was the first time I'd ever heard anybody say that. I swear everybody stole that from her, because she was the first person to say it, and that was, I don't know, 45 years ago or so. And it's true. If you're willing to love, even when people are not kind, even when people hurt your feelings, even when you feel like you're falling short, even when you make mistakes, even when you don't feel loving, if you can think of love like you're giving them God. So when I love people, what I think is, man, God loves you so much. Man, I hope you know that how much you are loved, that your life matters, that your heart matters, that your destiny, that you were born for a purpose and a reason, that you have a gift. And I think these things when I meet somebody and I touch them with that feeling that you are important, that God loves you, that you were born into this world with something to offer and something to give and something to receive. And if you don't even have to say it, you can just love them like that. And they will feel it. Because when you love someone, it heals them. When you love somebody, it touches them. It makes a difference. And we are asked, every single person is asked to do this. But when the world is crazy, we just have to do it more. We just have to do it harder. We just have to love it. We just have to love more. And it sounds like a lot, but the more you do it, the easier it gets, the more fun it is. And you don't have to be as sloppy and cry as much as I do. You can do it in your way. But if you're thinking, I am touching you for God today, because God is love and I love you. And that means just shove God right in there. Just put him in. You just love him like that, because you have to. You have to, because you know. And once you know that God is love, you can't pretend you don't know it anymore. You can't act like you don't know. And I know you're going to have bad days. You can have a bad month, but that's it. Okay? We don't have time. You don't have time. And I know hard things are happening. I know we're losing people that we love. I know our jobs are at stake. I know our hearts are at stake. I know our dreams are at stake and all that stuff. But this is the most important thing. This is why we're here. And the rest will come. In fact, I believe that it says, the word says, Do unto, give unto the kingdom, and all else will be given unto you. Like, you give, you love, and everything else will be given unto you. This is your most important assignment. And I know that some people are awkward hugging and stuff. You don't have to hug. You don't have to. You can just touch them. You can just say it. You can look them in the eye. You can look them dead in the eye and think, man, I'm telling you are loved. I'm telling you, I can see it, and I'm talking to you right now too. You are desperately, deeply, unbelievably loved. It's amazing when we know. I love this little guy. I love the sound of kids' voices. It's very distracting, but I love it so much. It is so important that you are actually on page 193, I believe it is. It says, how will they know? Is it 193? How are people going to know that you're a Christian, you're a spirit? They're going to know by your love. By your love. Not by your ability to give messages. Not by your ability to heal, not by anything else. It's love. And through love comes all things, because it's God. So if it's coming through love, it's coming through God. I am very fortunate, and I know that. I was, you could imagine, loved very well. But don't misunderstand love for perfection. Wasn't perfect. And as much as you might think I am, I'm not perfect. I'm just going to say that, right, Mom? We're not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But she's darn near. And she loves very, very, very well. And I want you to know something from my sisters and me. We know how much. Hi, George. We know how much she loves you, because she's going to be here at Christmas Day with you, and we don't like it. We want you to know that we worry about her. We worry about her. When we hear she falls or that something happens, we worry. And I come out here, you know, just to check on her. I want to just see her. And she was with me in South Carolina in September and all that. But I want you to know that her love for you and her love for God is so strong that she gets up every morning and thinks of you. She tells me about you. I know stories. I can't always put the name with the face, but I know some of you are looking for jobs, and some of you have lost your sister, and some of you are losing your mom, and some of you are looking for jobs, and some of you, I know about your kids and your spouses, and she doesn't tell me secret things, but I feel like I know you well enough to know that I want to know you, and I want you to know that I love you so much for watching after this most precious person. Now, she's my mom, and you know, that means there's other stuff that we have. But as a minister, as a person who gives, you won't find anyone who loves you more than this pastor right here. You won't find another pastor who loves you the way this pastor does. And I want you to know that I love you for loving her. For catching her when she falls, for picking her up and taking her to lunch and making sure she's okay and giving her water and making sure she's all right, you know? We don't take this lightly. It means so much to us. And we love you. And my sisters and I'm the one that says it. But we all appreciate you. And you matter. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Because if it was up to us, we would keep her with us. So you can send me the check in the mail. You're welcome. You're welcome. And I don't have much time, but I wanted to also say that this, and I know this isn't my funny, normal, funny one, but this season of Christ being born is so important. It's so important. He is the person that the message of love came through. He is the person. He is the one that represents, that brought love into, and forgiveness and mercy. The world was not like that before he came. And you'd have to, I've studied a lot of history, and I've studied a lot of isms. I call them isms, Taoism, Buddhism, Zenism. I've studied them all, and not all, but many. And Christ is the one through whom love, the witness, the showing of what love was like, came through him. And you can't really know love without acknowledging who brought that kind of love into the world. God is love, but the world was not as loving as it was once he came. And finally, I want to say that it is our responsibility, and I want you to imagine how challenging what I'm about to say is. It is our responsibility to be better people than our parents. It is our responsibility to see our parents' failures, our parents' strengths, our parents' what they gave us and what they didn't give us, and to be better. That's how we move our world forward. We are to take what we've been given, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, and to become better. We are to move each other forward to being more loving, more kind, more merciful, more forgiving, more filled with grace and joy, more honest, more truthful. Love and truth go together. And it is our job to see who we are and be better. And then this is challenging. Honestly, I'm telling you that this is a challenge for me. That doesn't mean I'm supposed to be like her or do what she does, but it's challenging. Some of our parents were really good at fine people, even if we didn't understand them. And it is our job as human beings to move our world forward in a good and loving way, an honest way. And so in saying that, I want to invite you to ask God to ask God for a personal, really personal, intimate relationship with God, the God of love. The angels and our guides and all of our gifts are not enough to just know this ever small, still voice within us that is God and is love. I want to invite you to know and to ask and to constantly talk to God through the day, like my mom will say and like the Bible says. Every thought is known. Every thought is known. Every moment of every thought that you have. And if you catch yourself, like I do, catch myself having unloving thoughts, I just try to stop myself and say, I am really sorry. Because if you don't, it'll come back around. You know, mom talks, did you tell him about the chin hairs? Yeah. Yes, the chin hairs, right? She said she thought this when she was little. Well, she didn't tell me that lesson, and now I have chin hairs too, because I must have like looked at someone's chin hairs. But it's that those are tiny, little, tiny, and you know, I've done this a million times where I catch myself thinking something, and I think, oh man, I can't believe I'm thinking that. I'm not acting on it. It just crosses my mind, and I try to remember to stop and say, God, I'm sorry. I am so human. I am so human. Oh my goodness, I know it says I'm not supposed to be jealous. I'm not supposed to, but sometimes I just want it to be different. I just want to be different. I want something else. I need something else, or I think I do. But I'm inviting you to have a very intimate and tight relationship with God and talk to him all day. And when you catch yourself being really human, to say, I'm sorry. Sorry, God. And have a really good sense of humor about it. And I'm inviting you to learn to touch and love other people in love, and to look at them intentionally, thinking to yourself and thinking to them. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to tell you this one little thing. It works with animals. I can think to my horse, and I can think to him, I really want you to go over there. And he will look at me, and I'm like, and I can just think it. And I'm thinking, I need you to go into the corral. You need to go into the corral. And he will look at me, and but then he will go. And it's, people are like that too. You can be thinking, I'm telling you, I love you. I don't care what you think. I am telling you right now, I am so coming over there, and I am so going to be hugging your neck right now. You know what I mean? And they can tell too. We are instinctive, intuitive beings. God lives in you. God lives in me. And the best thing we can do is to acknowledge it. The best thing we can do is love greater than just us. Because if you love, you're going to fall short. But if you give someone God's love, you will, I promise, you will help change the world. Thank you.
Now she's fired up, isn't she?